why don't we start about, tell me a little bit about yourself. And
well, that all ties into the story, I
guess. Okay, yeah, for sure.
Why don't we just start at the Boys and Girls House?
Okay, yes.
56 years ago, at the age of 7, my mother brought my brother and I to the library. I got my first library card. I was 7 years old. I remember the librarian, and her name was Miss Cook. And I took out 2 books. We came back in the afternoon, and she said to me, "You should really keep them overnight." I was like, "But I finished them. I finished them. I want more. I want more." And that led, I mean, it's a short story, but that being in that library and everything led to me working at the old reference library.
Oh,
all through high school.
Oh, that was that
right
the
there.
Bookstore.
The bookstore. So I worked there through high school. I was going to be a nurse. I thought it was me, but I couldn't handle it. So I ended up in the library system.
Right.
And I worked in City Hall at the Municipal Reference Library for 19 years. And then we moved into Metro Hall with Municipal Reference Library and was there for 15 years. So it was 34 years through amalgamation and everything. So it may have had an influence, that first little trip, to what I would do. But I was one of those kids with the book and the flashlight under the blanket.
Oh, yeah. I know that feeling.
Yes, it was just... And I didn't want anything but books for gifts. I remember the entire set of Bobbsey Twin books.
Oh, yes. I used to
The real yes. old. I remember those. I don't... I just spend a lot of time in and out of that library.
Right.
But I do visually remember. I remember Miss Cook really well. So, I mean, you're talking... What are you talking? 1959-60?
Right.
So
you went there pretty much throughout your whole childhood.
Mm-hmm. Because we lived on Sussex.
Right, right.
And then I still live in the same neighborhood.
Okay.
So I use the Spadina Road Library, but I mean, this is my area. This is where I grew up. So
nice.
Someone has to have photographs.
What was it like, I guess, transitioning from, like, being a patron to, like, actually working for the library? Did you feel some sort of...
I felt privileged to work with what I was working with.
Right.
Because the way it worked then when I was in high school as a page is you had so many hours each night in different departments. The old reference library, so you had the theater department.
Right.
So you may have been actually filing all of the big boards from Stratford with the drawings, with the costumes from the different plays.
That must have been so nice.
Just all that theater. And then you may have spent an hour down in languages and literature.
Right.
And you were on the circulation desk.
Right.
But there was a very big variety.
Yeah.
So that you weren't always in the same departments every time you went in. So you might have been in languages and literature. And, of course, the original Conan Doyle room was there, right? I get to shelve in Conan Doyle tonight. Yahoo!
That's so cool.
But it was a type of thing where they really did schedule you so you were never bored. That was my big thing.
Right.
Is even all the years, like, working in municipal reference and working in urban affairs.
Yeah.
You were never bored because you were, whatever happened in council affected us.
So interesting.
It was. I was never bored in 34 years.
I feel like that
it was very interesting. It was fascinating dealing. A lot of the Toronto authors were in all the time. Mike Filey and Donald Jones, who wrote for The Star. And of course, John Sewell was one of the library's best friends.
Right.
Jack Layton constantly in there. Because he was teaching at Ryerson as well as counselor.
Right.
And Olivia Chow was in.
Right.
And you'd have mayors that would come in and do their own research. David Miller. So it was you got to know them.
Yeah.
Not only the council, but all of the employees, right? Because we were the library for them as well.
Yeah. It's so neat, like, how that one trip when you were 7 just kind of, like, opened all this, like...
I never thought about it until I read that article, and then it all came back, and I thought, well, yeah, you know, there is a path there. I didn't realize that there was.
Yeah.
I guess I just never realized.
Is there anything else that you remember from Boys and Girls House?
I always remember smells.
I do too.
Do you?
Yeah.
It just smelled. I don't know if it was dust. I don't know if it was the, you know. I don't know what they were using at that time.
Right.
Ink-wise and. But there was something, I don't know, maybe it was the leather.
Mm-hmm.
And the ink. Mm-hmm. That was one thing that fascinated me in high school was the reference library had in the stacks, and I don't remember his name, but I remember Miss Cook's name. He was the restorer, and he was Austrian or German.
Okay.
But his area in the stacks was like a cage.
Oh.
So, and all his equipment was there.
Yeah.
And I used to go in early sometimes and sit and watch him literally undo the spines, undo the threads. He never talked, but I asked him once, is it okay if I watch? And he said yes. But just to watch him stitching and doing everything.
Oh, yeah.
But see, that was the art that he brought with him from Europe. And that just absolutely fascinated me. But everything was the old way.
Yeah.
You had the press. You would slowly fix the leather. And you're talking old books.
Yeah.
You're talking 1800s.
He wanted to be so careful.
That's the type of art that when he was gone, I don't think anybody else had it.
Yeah.
You could see all the leathers there that he had, the skins. That it was interesting. It was quite interesting.